In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is tape number 4 of part 2, Louisa and Reentering the Womb of the Celestial Father and the Divine Will. And we are on page 9 at the bottom of the page. Volume 25, 3, 17, 19, 29. My daughter Louisa, my divine will is in the act of forming continuous births. We get a glimpse of what Jesus said, you have to be reborn. And it's not once, it's continuously. Now, why? That's heaven. At every instant, at every microsecond, if you want to say, it's more beautiful than what was you just experienced. Again, St. Thomas Aquinas calls it the beatific vision, the awe of God for all eternity. Awe, how beautiful, how holy, how perfect, how loving you are. And Jesus says that he wants to teach us that to live in the divine will is to have continuous births, reborn again and again and again. It's because it's all new at every instant. It's all more beautiful in every instant, all more loving in every instant, for all eternity. In these births, the divine will generates and gives birth to light. It generates and gives birth to other lives similar to itself. It generates and gives birth to sanctity and beauty. So what we see here, you know, when you see a birth on earth, a little child born, and it takes, you know, a number of years for the child to grow, and the teenage years, and then the adult years, and then the senior years, and then it's over. That's not heaven. Heaven is, he says this, these births, every time you are reborn, it generates and gives birth to new divine light. It generates and gives birth to new and divine lives similar to itself. It generates and gives birth to new divine sanctity, new divine beauty. This is something the saints did not experience. The saints experienced goodness and holiness and sanctity from a human perspective, in the divine realm, but from a human perspective. What Jesus is now showing, he says, I'm going to allow you what I wanted from the beginning. I want to give back to you what I gave to Adam in the beginning, to be reborn continuously, to enter into this image and likeness of God. So Jesus says, the first generation is formed within our divine womb, and then the innumerable births that come out, the innumerable births from Triune God, from us, Triune God, that come out. But do you want to know, he says, when we generate and form these births, when we, Triune God, want to put out a truth? Okay, so he's saying that the truths that he has given to Louisa in these 36 volumes, the truths that he has given to her, will produce a new birth. And every truth that you read, there will be a new beginning for you. That's why that book, You Must Know, is so spectacular. You must know this. You must begin to embrace this. You must begin to be aware of this. So he says, first, we try and God generate it in our womb as a dear child of ours. And then we put it out as a birth from us, so that it may descend down below to creatures, and it may give to one who receives it the freedom to let her generate, that she may produce more births. And therefore, he says, therefore creatures may have our dear child generated within our womb. So here, what do these truths do? When you read something of Louisa, it's not just words. It says, ask and you will receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be open to you. We have to study this. We have to enter into this word of God, Jesus Christ. What does he want us to begin to embrace? That's why if you've read all 36 volumes and you begin again to read all 36 volumes, it's brand new. Why? Jesus has expanded your capacity to give you more. That's why when you read the calendar every year, the every day is filled with new births, new truths that Jesus wants you to receive. So this is why he says it's so clearly. First we generate it in our womb as our dear child of ours, then we put it out as a birth from us, triune God, so that it may descend down below to creatures and may give to one who receives these truths of the divine will the freedom to let her generate, that she may produce more births, and therefore the souls may have our dear child, Louisa, generated from our womb. So our truths descend from heaven. So what you have in the book of heaven is, Jesus says, has descended from heaven in order to generate them in the hearts of mankind. Okay, so he's saying that he wants us to hear this, to read this, to study this, to fall in love with it, to begin to understand from a divine perspective what he's talking about, in order to generate in the hearts and to form the long generation of the divine births coming from me, Jesus. So again, it's a new beginning Jesus has said he's waited 6,000 years to give to mankind. And he deposited everything in Louisa. So, because Louisa has the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So this can be given to us. He had to give to a human, as he gave to Adam, a human, what he wanted. And the firstborn, the newborn of this beautiful gift of the divine will is Louisa. And our Lord is asking us, he's pleading with us, will you begin to embrace this life? Will you begin to embrace this this generative births, being reborn again and again and again? So he says, see then, Louisa, my daughter, each truth that I have manifested to you, Louisa, about my divine will, which you basically wrote in the book of heaven, everything has been recorded, was a child generated in our paternal womb, such that as we, triune God, spoke it, put it out, and brought you, the child of our light, the child of our beauty, the child of our sanctity, and the child of our love. So here, what Jesus has breathed out has been brought to Louisa, who, again, these are titles of Louisa. Louisa, child of our light. Louisa, child of our beauty. Louisa, child of our sanctity. Louisa, child of our love. The Lord is saying this to her, not to pat her on the back, but to say to us, do you recognize who this is? Do you recognize who possesses this? And if the grace was given to you, Louisa, to put them out, okay, it was because they found in you, Louisa, the space and the freedom to be able to generate in such a way that unable to contain within yourself the so many births of the children of our truths, you, Louisa, put them out in those souls who have the good of listening to you, of those souls who have the good of reading what you wrote in the book of heaven. You see what God's doing? This book of heaven is everything, if you want the divine will. And the more that you read, the more that you study, the more that you put this into practice, the quicker the kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why Jesus says you can have it 30, 60, or 100 fold. Whatever you want, he says, I will give to you. Now, it's not just wanting. I want 100%. Now you got to spend the time and the energy to focus on this. That means all the other things that you're involved in has to take second place to this. Everything that Jesus is asking of you is to begin to live this abundant life. Therefore, it can be said that Louisa, the one who does not take these truths into consideration, therefore it can be said that the one, the soul, who has the book of heavens, who has been given the book of heaven, who does not take these truths into consideration, the soul who does not esteem them, the soul that does not appreciate them, the soul that does not love them, these are the truths that Jesus gave to Louisa in the book of heaven, is a child of ours who does not appreciate the great love of the greatest thing that exists in heaven and on earth. So Jesus is showing us that the book of heaven that gives us these divine truths that Jesus spoke to Louisa about, that Louisa put down on paper, you're not going to enter into the greatest thing that exists in heaven and on earth. The greatest thing that exists on heaven and on earth is the most holy divine will. That's what Jesus is telling us. And by not loving the most holy divine will and esteeming the most holy divine will, these souls who basically does not take the truths into consideration come to suffocate these children of ours, these divine lives that Jesus speaks to Louisa, that Louisa put down on paper, that as we read them, we begin to possess them, to prevent their generation. They're not going to grow. They can't. They're suffocated. They die. They're, if you want to say, aborted. Jesus says this is the greatest thing that exists in heaven and on earth. He's giving this to us. As Catholics, he's giving this to us because he knows that soon the kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. He knows this. And he's saying, I want you to begin to live this now. So then when it happens, you will be able to continue to live this. So then he says, there is no greater evil than this, not to use all the care in keeping a truth of ours. Okay, when Jesus speaks, it's not just something that you read through and you go, well, that was nice. What was it again? Read it, study it, put it into practice. That's why I keep on saying, go to your room, close the door and pray. As you begin to pray this, as you begin to live this, it really is a new beginning for all the world, beginning in you. And then the kingdom will be established. So he says, there is no greater evil than this, not to use all the care in keeping a truth of ours as one of the greatest treasures, because this truth is our child. This truth is the bearer of our life upon earth. So what God is doing is he's given this to Louisa so that we can read it and have this life that was given to Louisa also reigning in us. It's divine lives. And as Catholics, we already understand this. You know, it's if a priest consecrates a host, it's just not, if there's 10 hosts, a percentage of Jesus in each host. No, it's the totality of Jesus. So each truth that God gives us is multiplied in us. And therefore, God is asking us to begin to understand how important this office that God has given us, this gift that God has given us, is to all the world. So he says, you cannot comprehend my sorrow in seeing the negligences of the ones who have lost the three volumes of my most holy divine will. Now, they found the volumes. You know, they were restored. But Jesus is telling us about his books. If you have all 36 volumes and you're not reading what is there in certain volumes, this is what Jesus says. What sorrow I see in the negligence of the ones who lost the three volumes of my divine will, or the souls who have not read everything that I have written, that I've spoken to Louisa. How many truths were not inside each of them? How many lives they had not suffocated, forming the tomb for my children that with so much love I, Jesus, issued from my paternal womb? On the part of those who had no care to the point of causing them to be lost, that means have no care to read, to study, to put them into practice. You have to understand, what Jesus has given us is a duty and obligation. He says, I feel that they have broken the plan of my divine will, and it's a long story. Spoken to you, Louisa, with so much love in order to make it known, because every time I would set myself to tell you what pertains to my fiat, the ardor of my love was so great that I felt that I was renewing the act of the whole creation, especially when, in the ardor of love, man was created, Adam was created. Image and likeness of God was created. See, Jesus says, I want to bring that back to humanity. He says, I redeem mankind. Why? So that they could again be brought back to my image and likeness. Redemption isn't the end. Sanctification is the end. And that's why he has given us the book of heaven. He's asking us to embrace this gift. If you knew how much I, God, suffer in each truth of these volumes that they have lost with so much negligence, or how in each truth of these volumes that they've refused to read because of so much negligence. He says, I feel myself being given death. That's the reason why I really strongly recommend the calendar. You can download it. You can download it from luisapicaretta.me. It's right there. It's for you. You know, these are not to be bought. You know, they are not to be sold. What you're paying for basically is the paper and the shipping. If you print it up, you know, Jesus has given us the internet. Jesus has given us the way of printing these volumes, this calendar, so that you have the opportunity, if you wish, to read every day, to read and study all this. He says, I feel myself be given death, as many deaths or as many truths that were inside the book of heaven, the volumes. Not only this, but the death to all the good that those truths were to bring, the death to the glory that they were to give to me, Lord God Almighty. But they shall pay for this with so much more fire in purgatory, for as many truths as they have caused to be lost. Do you see the obligation that we have? He's put this book in our hands, not in the hands of anybody else, not your family. Your family doesn't want it. You say you want this. Jesus is saying to us, are you beginning to enter into this life, to read, to study, to put this into practice? You must know, however, that if they do not use all the means in order to find them or read them, because I want their cooperation, I shall not make a miracle that some would want, that they may be found. And this as chastisement of their negligence. These births, these truths, these dear children and lives of ours that we, Triune God, issued, however, we shall not withdraw, because what comes out of the womb of our divinity as relator and bearer of a great good for creatures is not withdrawn by us, Triune God, because of the ingratitude and the negligences of those who have lost so many of our truths, for those that have not read and studied so many of our truths. So again, Jesus is showing us he's got plans. So he says, therefore, when the kingdom of our divine will becomes known upon earth, we're learning this on earth, and shall reign on it, then I, God, shall make it so as to manifest again what has been lost. And that's why I'm saying the writings were recovered. And if I do not do so, the nexus and the connection, the plan as a whole of the kingdom of the divine fiat would be missing. So Jesus says, it's a warning to us. Do not lose these promises, these truths. Do not lose them. Study them, read them, put them into practice. 525, 322, 1929. Therefore, it was the right of my divine fiat that Adam live only and always of the divine will. What had it not done for Adam? It called Adam from nothing. It formed Adam and gave Adam his being. It gave Adam double life, the life of man and the life of the divine will, in order to carry Adam always clasped in its creative arms, so as to preserve Adam beautiful, fresh, happy, just as it created him. So when Adam sinned, my fiat felt itself being snatched of the life that it carried in its very womb. What was not its sorrow? It remained with the void in its womb of this son, for whom with so much love, so as to keep him safe and happy, it had made room within its very life. And do you think that in redemption, it was not my very divine will that incarnated itself in order to come to find the lost man? It was precisely it, because the verbum means word, and our word is the fiat, that just as in creation it spoke and created in the same way, in redemption, it wanted and incarnated itself. It was its empty womb that claimed this child, who with so much cruelty had torn himself away. And what did this will of mine not do in redemption? So God says, I restored everything with redemption. I took upon myself, Jesus says, the suffering of all mankind, the death of all mankind, the sin of all mankind. Why did I do this? It's to prepare the world for sanctification. Do you think we are to continue to live like this with our fallen human nature? No, it's to go back to that perfect nature that God breathed into Adam. That perfect nature that the Blessed Mother had. That perfect nature that Jesus possessed. It's ours. Through whom? Through the little newborn Luisa Picaretta. So Jesus says, but the divine will is not yet content with what I, God, did in redemption. It wanted to fill its womb. It no longer wants to see mankind disfigured by sin, dissimilar from the divine will. But the divine will wants to see mankind adorned by the insignia of creation, adorned with its beauty and sanctity, and taking his place once again inside its divine womb. We are going to return to the womb of the Father. This is 20 through 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. And only when it sees again its child happy, living in its house with the opulence of its goods, then it shall calm itself. And so it shall be able to say, my child has come back. My child is clothed with a royal garments. My child wears the crown of the king. My child lives together with me, and I have given back to him the rights that I gave him in creating him. So the disorder in creation is ended, because mankind has come back into my most holy divine will. That's what God wants for you and for me. He wants it for all the world. But he says, I need you to work with Luisa to bring this about. I need you to begin to comprehend what I want. And he says, this is why I've given you the book of heaven. To read, to study, to put this into practice. It's a new beginning for all the world because of what God has given to Luisa, and now God has given to us through Luisa. Volume 25, 325, 1929, excuse me. My abandonment in the divine fiat continues. And this is what we want. We abandon everything for the divine fiat. That doesn't mean you give up your family. It doesn't mean you give up your health. You abandon everything. My priority in life is this great gift of the divine fiat. I felt the littleness of my soul in the midst of all created things, and I, as though having my own motion, my continuous race in all creation, this is our rounds that we do every day, feel inseparable from the divine will. My human will and that of creation are one. It's the human will is not in charge anymore. Your human misery isn't in charge anymore. It's bound to the throne of our God, which is the sole and only divine will. Therefore, since the will of everyone is one, we do one same thing, and we all run together as though to our first center, to our Creator, and say to God, your love issued us. Your same love calls us back into yourself with a vertiginous race to say to you, we love you. We love you. We love you. That has to be our heartbeat. We have to begin to hear our heartbeat saying that to God. We have to begin to hear our breath saying that back to God. We love you. We love you. We love you. To sing the praises of your inextinguishable and intermittable love. And so in this way, coming out of his center again, to continue our race that never makes stops, we do nothing but go in and out of his divine womb in order to form our round of love, our round of praise, our round of glory, our loving race toward our Creator. In my speaking, I have kept such order that one truth is so bound to the other that if anybody wanted to snatch any or conceal some truths, they would form a void in the kingdom of my divine fiat and would subtract a strength from souls to induce them to live in my kingdom. So Jesus says, there's such order in this. Nobody's going to be able to destroy this. Nobody can destroy this. God is in charge. And that's why he says, give me your fiat. Let me see your fiat and watch what I will do. Let me see your fiat and let me begin to hold you and kiss you and bring you back to where you belong. In fact, each truth that regards my most holy divine will is a place that the divine will takes in order to reign in the midst of creatures, as well as a way and an empty space that they find in order to take possession of them. Therefore, all the truths that I, Jesus, have told you, Louisa, that you have written down in the Book of Heaven, have such a connection among themselves that by removing some, in that point one would see as though heaven without stars or a void without a sun or an earth without flowering. In fact, all these truths that I, Jesus, have told you, there is the renewal of the whole of creation. And in each truth, my fiat, more than sun, wants to come out into the field again, wants to reign on earth as it is in heaven, just as it did in creation. In taking its field of action, and with its light, it wants to eclipse all the evils of all mankind, and laying its veil of light over everyone and everything. It wants to give them so much grace as to give them its creative hand to make them re-enter into the womb of its divine volition. This is where we're going. We're returning back to God in God's image and likeness. This is why I say it's not about being good and holy and saintly. It's more than that. It's to enter into divinity. The priest says that every day at Holy Mass, you've got to listen. May we share in the divinity of Christ. That doesn't mean good. It's share in the divinity. That doesn't mean holy. Share in the divinity. That doesn't mean sanctity. This is the sanctity of sanctities. It's to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, through whom? Through the little newborn Louisa Picaretta. Volume 26, 4:12, 1929. I was all abandoned in the divine fiat, and its light eclipsed my littleness and transported me up there. That's where we live. We are the children of the kingdom. Even to the womb of the Eternal One, where nothing but light, sanctity, beauty, again, this is divine light, divine sanctity, divine beauty could be seen, that infused in me profound divine adoration, such that I felt my little existence changed into one single act of divine adoration for that God who so much loved me and loves me. See, we enter into the adoration that Jesus gives to the Father. Now that's what God is waiting for, to re-enter into this life, this light, this love of God. Okay, in the immensity of our being released from our womb, in the immensity of our adoration, I see this as divine adoration, extended the starry heavens over the whole universe to call everyone, those who would inhabit the earth in our one most holy divine will, so as to unify them within the divine immensity of our divine adoration in such a way that by virtue of our fiat, mankind was to extend himself within the divine immensity of his Creator and form his heaven a profound divine adoration for the God who had created him. Image and likeness. This is what God is calling us to. This is why God is giving you the book of heaven. This is why it's so important that you read every day, study every day, put into practice every day. This has to become your priority. The most important thing of your day. That you let Jesus speak to you. Can you just picture yourself back 2,000 years ago. And Jesus comes to your house. He knocks on your door and he says, "Can I come in and talk to you for a little bit?" What would he say? How he would change you just by his word. That's what the book of heaven is. Let Jesus speak to you. Let Jesus begin to transmute you. That's what he says to Louisa. Let him, with his immensity of God, form his heaven in profound adoration within you for God who has created you. Let him breathe into you the Ruah of God, the breath of God. Vine 26, 4, 16, 19, 25. And you know that the motion, the heartbeat, the breathing must be continuous. Otherwise, life cannot exist. And you would cause your life to be missing in my fiat. And it would be feel the sorrow that its little daughter, its dear little newborn, would cause her motion, her heartbeat, her breathing to be missing in the divine will. It would feel the tearing of its newborn, whom it keeps always in the act of being born, without putting her out of its womb, not even to let her take one step, so as to feel her life as its own life. See, Jesus wants to feel our life as if it's his own life. That's the fiat. That's the let it be done to me as you say. And if you would feel the life of its continuous motion of God in its heartbeat and its breathing missing in you, you would feel the void of a divine will in your soul. No, no, my daughter Louisa, and he talks to us as well, the little children of the holy divine will linked to Louisa. I do not want any void of my most holy divine will in you. That is why, Jesus says, I give you the book of heaven. You're going to learn how and why I want this. Read it every day. Study it every day. Again, make this your priority. Vine 26, 4, 28, 19, 29. My daughter, it is our most holy divine will that created that the creature ascends again back into our divine womb, back into our creative arms, that we, Triune God, may give her again our continuous breath, the Ruah of God, the breath of God. And in this breath, give her, this is what he says, the current that generates all goods, divine goods, the current that generates all divine joys, the current that generates all divine happinesses. But in order for us, Triune God, to be able to give this breath, Mankind must live in our most holy divine will, because only in the most holy divine will can he receive this breath of God, and we can give it. Do you see what Jesus is saying? I've given you the book of heaven because I want you to again ascend and return back to me. I don't want you to be separated from me, Jesus says. I want you to always be with me, Jesus says. This is why, by necessity of creation, in order to maintain intact our work and our purpose for which we, Triune God, had created it, the only means was to endow mankind with the God, with the divine will that would preserve him just as he came out of our creative hands. He would enjoy all our goods, and we were to enjoy because he was divinely happy. Therefore, so that mankind may return to his place of honor, mankind may re-enter once again to operate together with his creator, and that mankind may amuse themselves and God together, there are no means other than his re-entering into our fiat. That's why God has given you the book of heaven, that it may bring mankind back to us triumphantly, back into our arms, that we are waiting for him to clasp him tightly within our divine womb. This is what God is waiting for. To say to each and every one of us, finally, after 6,000 years, you have come back. You have gone wandering. You have experienced all the evils, because there is no good without our fiat. You have experienced enough evil. You have touched with your own hand too much evil. And you have touched in your hand what it means to go out of the divine will. So never go out of the divine will again. And come to rest. Come to enjoy what is yours. Because our volition, everything was given to you. And now everything is being given back to you because of redemption. Now Jesus says, I want you to enter into sanctification. Therefore, my daughter, be attentive, and we shall give you, Louisa, everything if you always live always in our fiat. That's what you promised Jesus. I want to live always in your fiat. Our breath shall take delight in breathing over you as it breathed over Adam. When you take a breath, breathe in the divine I love you. Breathe in this divine I love you. Jesus, I want to breathe in the breath that you breathed into Adam. I want to do this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that your kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. Your heart beating. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. As you be in Adam's heart, as you beat in the Blessed Mother's heart, beat in my heart beating, as your heart beat in your own heart, beat in my heart beating. Our breath shall take delight in breathing over you always, the Ruah of God, the breath of God, to make our divine joys, our divine light, our divine sanctity overflow upon you. Jesus is tired of your misery. Read the three appeals, what Jesus says. I'm tired of the way you're living. And since you haven't come after me, I'm going to come after you. And I'm going to give you, again, this beautiful gift. The gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. The divine will through the little newborn Louisa Picaretta. He says, this breath will communicate to you the attitude of our divine works. Everything that you think, say, and do is going to change. That we, Triune God, may keep the little daughter of the divine will, Louisa Picaretta, and the little children linked to Louisa, regenerated by our divine will, always together with us, Triune God, never to be separated from us, Triune God. Do you see why Jesus gave you the book of heaven? He's got plans, and you're in them. And he's asking you, he's pleading with you, will you please begin to live this abundant life? Will you please begin to live this life of peace, joy, and happiness? Divine peace, divine joy, divine happiness. Our Lord has got wonderful, great plans. And all that he asks is, will you make that commitment to read? I've given you the book of heaven, Jesus says. It doesn't matter who gave you the book. Jesus says, I planned this from the beginning of time, that you would be linked to Louisa to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Would you, Jesus says, will you give your fiat to this? And when we say yes, then make this the priority of your life. Nothing less than this. Nothing less than reading, studying, and putting this into practice. And again, I recommend the calendar. You go through all 36 volumes, plus you got to read volume 1 in 1 year. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.